This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
College Football Awards. All right, Tim, we'll continue our conversation. We both give Texas A&M the team of the week. I think it's now starting to get a little bit more difficult, though. Who did you have as your dumpster fire of the week?
Ooh. Can I say Navy?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
because
I mean, for one game, I'm just saying one game, you had all this hype behind you, and I can't tell you how many people told me that Notre Dame is definitely going to lose to either Navy or Army, which is still possible. They still play Army. And on their first offensive drive, they fumbled for the first time since week one. To go into that game and to be minus six in the turnover margin when you, as a program, pride yourself on never turning the ball over. And, like, I'm sure Memphis fans are watching that game, be like, where was this? Like, what? Where did this come from, right? And
I think the one distinction I would make, though, is you see how Notre Dame had defenders there?
Yeah. No, Notre Dame was ready for it. It's mean of me to say that. I just expected more from them in this spot. But I'll say my number one dumpster fire was Kyle McCord.
Yeah, I was going to have him for one of the more college football moments, moments of the week, but I've got another one.
Three touchdown passes
in the first half to the other team.
Pitt had 217 yards of offense and we're up 31-0 at halftime.
It was the precursor of what the Lions did to the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting there going like, how is this possible? That one's fine. Here's the other reason I'm okay with putting Navy. It's not my vote, but why I'd be okay with it. The way that they lost the game, even if they run the table, even if they beat Army, if they get to the
they're not gonna make the college football playoff. They're still a good football team.
Yes.
I don't understand the line movement this week. They're playing Rice, who just fired their coach. Maybe EJ Warner's gonna play. I still think they're a double-digit win team. 9 or 10. I mean, they have a good game against Tulane coming up, which will determine whether or not Navy can make the AAC championship game. But I'm sure pretty disheartening for anyone who bet. Navy was a very popular dog. I'll just say that, and that game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah. You did not hear me tell you Navy. In fact, one of my buddies in a group chat yelled at me that I didn't point out to him that Notre Dame was the play. And I was like, well, buddy, I'm floating at 500 right here. So you know what I mean, you had as much of a chance as I did.
On my podcast, where I'm similar to you, it's been a very kind of up and down type of year. I think I hopefully talked people out of betting Navy. I did not necessarily tell you to bet on Notre Dame, but I was just saying, be careful. Be careful with this one. Their strength of schedule was like 133 in the country going into that one.
All right, here's one that I'm going to add. Kentucky. So you take a 10-point lead against Auburn, and I honestly kind of thought, I was like, man, that felt like a game whoever would get the lead first would win. But then Kentucky was just so incompetent on offense, and Auburn did enough. And Auburn even kept it probably closer than it should have been. They had a disastrous clock management situation at the end of the half. Now, I don't know if their kicker would have made it anyway, but they didn't even get the kickoff. And The reason why I feel like it's dumpster fire, and it's not necessarily like the program's collapsing, it's just a crappy place to be as a fan, because I do believe Mark Stoops is someone that has hit the ceiling with that program, but you're now paying him like he is a top 10 coach in the country, and nobody's really happy. And so this is where I think it's just kind of a, it's the worst spot to be as a fan. The coach isn't happy with you. You're not happy with him. And now after the euphoria of knocking off Ole Miss, you're kind of on the outside looking at a bowl game.
And I think just the bigger question for Kentucky is, what is this program? Because at some point we're going to get to that spot where they're going to fire him, potentially. Not saying now, but it's going to be, the complacency is going to set in. And it's like, well, what's the ceiling of Kentucky football, right? And like, you're going to have years like this where you take steps back. So I feel like Kentucky football is kind of like, the ceiling is 9-10 wins. Maybe with the expanded playoff, you think, I mean, I think the expanded playoff maybe brings new hope to the sport, where you get like, you have an Indiana year. I feel like Indiana's season is going to have a lot of fan bases point to them and be like, I don't get it. They're doing it. And maybe, it, you know, they hit lightning in the bottle. Their schedule's been pretty soft. They've got some new pieces in there. But yeah, it's kind of, when you look at Kentucky, it's like, who are we, right, when you look into the mirror?
Yeah, so I mean, their season comes down to, so they've got Tennessee on Saturday in Knoxville, and it's like death taxes. Tennessee beats Kentucky. That's just the way it is. So they have Murray State, that gets them to 4, and then you have to get one at Texas or at Louisville to get to a bowl.
You can beat Louisville.
They can beat Louisville. They did last year, and it was kind of a similar situation. So, and they typically had good
Louisville's
success.
Louisville's been a pretty big disappointment in my eyes, too.
I think that's more than fair. I mean, I guess they kind of, they saved real embarrassment last Friday night, but I tend to agree.
They came back. They beat Boston College. Brutal spot. It's one of those teams that, you know, when I finalize my card for the weekend, Louisville is going to be a hard one for me to keep off, catching double digits on the road at Clemson. But I don't know. I bet on them against I bet on them in the game against
Miami.
Maybe they should have been there, but their defense is just terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
All right, let's get to our Heisman winner of the week. And this is the reason why I want to bring it up. So I'm going with Travis Hunter. And
beast.
9 catches, 153 yards, 2 touchdowns, also had 4 pass breakups. He's awesome. He's an awesome football
Did
player.
Did you see the Adam Rittenberg over at ESPN broke it down? It was pretty incredible. 132 snaps, all 61 on defense, 68 of 71 on offense. As you mentioned, 153 receiving yards, which was a career high. 4 pass breakups, also a career high. 2 touchdowns.
And the reason why I bring it up is, I think it's interesting that forever we thought, okay, Colorado's not going to win enough games, so any Shador Travis hype is futile. What I actually find interesting is they might actually be able to win enough games. The thing that I think is that's working against them, they're getting less attention than ever in the Deion era, and they're the better football team than they've ever been.
It really is. I don't understand it. I don't understand why. I understood why we gave them all the hype last year. You know, can this work? You know, you've got a pop star into the sport of college football, and the ratings were through the roof. I mean, the ratings for that Colorado State game at like, what, that game ended around like midnight, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time, and it was insane. I don't understand it. They're 6-2. They're good. Like, they're not going to make the college football playoff, but they're good. Their defense is legit. Shador Sanders, in my opinion, is the best pro prospect playing college football right now, or eligible prospect. And Travis Hunter is a revelation. And I don't get why they're not getting the hype that they did last year. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
So I think I've been thinking about this. I have a couple of thoughts, and you tell me if you agree. One, I don't think it can be denied that Deion started getting more adversarial with journalists.
True.
Now, do
some
I think
of his
that's,
answers preseason were pretty ridiculous?
I also think this is true. They're not operating as braggadocious as they were. You know what I mean? Like they've kind of let the football speak for itself, and that's like toned down the amount of rhetoric and the therefore the talking about the rhetoric and whatnot. So I think that's hurt. But I've stumbled on this theory, and I think this one's the one that I would subscribe to being the biggest impact. Last year, you still had the Pac-12 that was part of Fox's TV deal, part of ESPN's TV deal, and the Pac-12, as we said, the irony of last year was that was the best and most competitive that league has been in terms of actually having contenders in a very long time, and it was the last year. Now you flip to this year, and ESPN is completely all in on all SEC all the time on Saturdays, and then you know it's the entirely the SEC. And even though they're still getting some games on Fox, it's very obvious Fox is paying way more attention to the Big Ten, which is who they're all in on, and that's where they cash in all their chips. And so I think it's kind of the fact that the two media partners that drive so much of it, and really ESPN in particular, they're just not that interested right now.
I think that's definitely part of it. I also think the fact that they went to Nebraska, primetime, NBC, week two. And remember, last year, they opened up the season as a 21-point underdog, and they beat TCU, who was coming off of playing for the national championship.
Yes.
Then they crushed Nebraska in a weird game, but they crushed Nebraska. Another high-profile game. I don't remember what network that was on. I think it was Fox, maybe.
So,
and Fox, then they had the Colorado State game. They were 3-0. They had already had College Game Day. They had two really high-profile wins, and I think it's unfair, but I think the Nebraska game, which has gotten worse with age, because Nebraska just got obliterated by Indiana. People aren't buying in on this Colorado team, and I think it's also what we were just talking about last segment, which is Colorado doesn't really have a good win. Like, in the eyes of, like, I think beating UCF in the fashion that they did was very impressive, but their wins right now, North Dakota State, Colorado State, Baylor on a Hail Mary to force overtime, UCF, Arizona, who's been massively overrated, and then Cincinnati, which I thought was a good win.
Arizona's so bad that and even in a win, West Virginia had to fire their defensive coordinator.
So I think that's what's kind of weighing on. I think it's the television rights. I think you're absolutely accurate with that. They've been putting a lot of those 10 o'clock Eastern windows. But it's also, we're not hearing from them as much, which is surprising. And I think the Nebraska loss, really hurts them because they got dominated in that game. They were never in it. It was, what, 23-28 at halftime. And that's been one where you've been trying to overcome that for weeks now. And then they had another opportunity against Kansas State, and they played well but couldn't get the win. Kansas State ultimately won that game in Boulder.
Yeah, I also wonder if...
I think Travis Hunter, by the way, I came around. I think he wins the Heisman Trophy. I'm getting to that point. I think Ashton Gentry's done. I think he's out. And I know that's unfair for him. But he's been held to a superhuman standard because of where he plays. And I thought Friday night he was not superhuman. And now Boise State's going to play a bunch of tomato cans the rest of the way out. And I think Travis Hunter has got an opportunity to continue to be on the forefront here. It hurts. Like, God, if they could switch out Utah for BYU, that would just change everything for Colorado.
I'm leaving room for Cam.
Oh, yeah. I think it's down to three. I really do. Dylan Gabriel's numbers are not really eye-popping, but he's the quarterback of the best team in the country. And in the biggest game of the year, he played his best game against Ohio State.
It does feel like, though, we're waiting for a Dylan Gabriel has kind of played with, like, he's thrown a couple of bad picks at times. It does feel like we're waiting for, like, a Dylan Gabriel average performance that maybe costs Oregon. And
so what do you think about this theory for the Heisman? So right now, and I've been keeping track of it the last, like, 4 or 5 weeks, it feels like it's down to, in my opinion, 3, but based off of the odds, 4. Cam Ward, Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jenny. Miami, Oregon, and Colorado really don't have a marquee game left in the regular season.
Yeah.
However, Cam Ward more than likely will play Clemson in the ACC championship.
Yep.
Dylan Gabriel more than likely will play Ohio State or Penn State in the Big Ten championship. Right or wrong, it feels like it's going to be determined on championship weekend, which has been the truth. If Miami and Oregon lose, I think Travis Hunter's got a really good shot to win it, assuming he keeps up this insane these insane numbers. If Miami beats Clemson, goes 13-0, if Oregon beats Ohio State again and goes 13-0, it feels like it's going to be hard-pressed to keep it out of one of those guys' hands.
Is it possible Shador and him could split votes?
It's possible.
Because to me, it's like if Travis can't really have that. He's got to have like everyone that's in on the Colorado thing. Like you have to be all in on it.
I don't know where Shador will be from a stand. Like I'm looking at. So I've started tracking this early October. Shador, I didn't even have his odds on there. I started putting his odds on last week. He was at like 50-1. Right now he's pretty much 50-1 most shops, except Circa has him down at 15-1, which is pretty wild.
Because the only other thing I'm thinking of, is there an SEC quarterback that's going to have the November that could vault him into the conversation? Like, I wouldn't bet on it, but theoretically, Dart could have a big, you know, Arkansas's defense isn't great. So, like, if they get their offense back together, which I don't think they will, and then he beats Georgia. But still, I think you're going to have to be in that SEC championship game.
And does Carson Beck have any shot of coming back?
I mean, he's going to have the stat games, but I just wonder if, like, I just don't think the numbers are going to be overwhelming.
I don't either. But the thing is, Dylan Gabriel's numbers are really not overwhelming either. And that's what's kind of like.
But he doesn't. He's got the zero. It's why, yeah, I also. But I'll be honest.
He's got the zero.
I don't believe in Dylan Gabriel as going to win.
I think it comes down to the Big Ten championship. If he plays like he did against Ohio State on the first Saturday in December, I think he probably wins it. But. And this is the bigger problem with the Heisman Trophy. There's too many voters. And
too many voters that also don't watch college
football. A lot of these voters are going to watch that Saturday and decide who's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. They haven't been watching all year. They haven't been watching Ashton Jenty go for 200 plus, you know, late night against Hawaii. Like, they're going to watch that weekend. And now Ashton Jenty has a chance to go off on a Friday night in the Mountain West Championship game of championship weekend. But I think it's going to come down to that Saturday. And it's going to come down to Cam Ward versus Dylan Gabriel. Does one of those guys win and go undefeated? And if they both lose, is it a situation like last year where Bo Nix gets blown out, or didn't get blown out, they lost to Washington, and then Jaden
Daniels
won it?
They kind of got blown out.
Yeah, it was not competitive.
Yeah, like the final score was not, like, I mean, at one point it's like 17-0 or like 24-3, something like that. All right, most college football moment of the week. I'm going with Duke losing a game with a +6 turnover margin. I looked this up. Since 2016, teams with a +6 turnover margin were 28-0, and the average win was 45-14. I will say this. At least Duke went for two. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they got to it, and I think they probably got hosed a little bit on a call, but at least they went for it. With that being said, the fact that the game even had to get to overtime was nothing short of a miracle.
I think it proves my case on two fronts. Well, more so one. I think Duke's a massive fraud. I think Miami should rip them limb from limb. However, On Thursday's college football podcast, when we run through our card, me and Matt Eumanns, I really liked Minnesota this weekend. They're playing Maryland. I like situational spots. Maryland just beaten USC. Minnesota was coming off a bye. But I said, I don't know if I want to lay five. I'll just put them together with someone in a money line parlay. I'll take SMU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there watching that game, and Kevin Jennings, the quarterback of SMU, is just turning it over every which possible way. And they've got the ball, and they're essentially running out the clock to go to overtime, and he fumbles.
Yep.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But then, thankfully, SMU had a dude leap over an offensive lineman to block that extra point, or block that field goal, which essentially was an extra point. So, yeah, that was pretty fortunate. I won't lie. That was one where I was pretty fortunate there to get that home. I think the most, I don't know if you saw it. It was on Bad Beats last night, and they opened up College Football Final with it. Did you see the Ball State game and how this finished?
No, and so I was so mad after Monday Night Football, I turned off Bad Beats, even though I wanted to watch it.
So Ball State, I'll try to make this quick because nobody cares, but Ball State was playing Northern Illinois. Ball State's kicker missed a extra point and also missed a, got a like 30-some-odd yarder blocked.
Tough to do.
And then he hit a 52-yarder as the time expired to beat Northern Illinois 25-23.
That's only the stuff of college football.
Like Northern Illinois bangs a field goal with, let me get the specific time here. They make a field goal with 15 seconds to go, up 23-22. Somehow, Ball State gets down the field to get into field goal range in 13 seconds, and the dude who had missed an extra point and had just had a 33-yarder blocked bangs home a 52-yarder perfectly to give them the win.
I also would include, I just like when Michigan State and Michigan ends in a fight.
It's always fun.
Yeah, that's always my college football thing. All right, where I was right, I was with you. Notre Dame was a different class of athlete against Navy. And, you know, I mean, we can do the whole turnovers. I still point out part of those turnovers were the fact that Notre Dame was absolutely just everywhere they wanted to be. They lived in the backfield. Like, they were just creating havoc left and right. But to me, like, that was one that did not shock me at all. And then where I was wrong, I mean, Indiana is I'm just reliving Arizona from last year all over again. Like, Indiana with a backup quarterback, you get the pick six. Washington worked really hard to not cover, but I'm just back at the same points. Like, Indiana's a wagon. You might as well just accept it. And then the other thing, that going back to that Friday night game that you were at, I had my doubts that Madsen was going to be able to beat somebody.
He played well.
And I thought he played really well. I think he had more to do with winning than Genty did. Now, it's also important to note, part of the reason why he had more to do with winning is because they were selling out to stop Genty. He had more space to make throws. But I was surprised. He was clearly, to me, honestly, he was the better quarterback.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I thought that Boise did a good job, or Maddox Madsen did a really good job on that Friday night. Pretty good atmosphere for an NFL stadium. I'll give him credit.
42,000, right?
Yeah, record for a new UNLV game. So well done by all. Lots of Boise fans, as you would imagine. Where I was right, Boston College, great situational spot on Friday night, catching a touchdown against Louisville. Should have won the game, did get the cover. I also had Texas A&M. I was not very confident that was going to come home, and I needed a quarterback change to get there. Where I was wrong, I should have listened to you. I got too cute with Mississippi State. I thought that was a spot to bet against Arkansas off of the loss for the Golden Boot, and they got that one never had a shot.
You got to remember, Arkansas is in a unique spot that not a lot of teams were, which is this season it wasn't like playoffs. So even when they take a loss or two, they still keep playing hard. And Mississippi State's just decimated with injuries.
Yeah, and I kind of fell into, and I usually don't do this, but I fell into the, well, you know, they've been competitive in these big spread games. Yeah, that was a mistake. I was right that Kansas would keep it close against Kansas State, but I was also wrong on, let's see, oh, the obvious one. I was very wrong on UCF. That was
But we have to live by a code. If we have an undefeated top 11 team on the road as a dog to a 3-4 team, we're always going to take that 3-4 team.
I'm not going to change my ways, folks. Yeah. You're not going to, you know, you can tweet me all you want and say that, you know, the sharps have been wrong before. Look, if that line goes from +2 to -2, when a team with a losing record is sitting there against BYU, I'm going to take it every single time. And it is what it is. We had egg all over our face. We lost, but I would bet that side again tomorrow because I'm stubborn and I've had success doing things like that. I haven't called them stinky lines for a reason, you know. So that was a stinky line, and it ended up looking like stink at the end of the day.
At the end of the year, though, I think we need to do some content analysis. Get back to your old research days. I think our stinky lines this year, I think the lines have, I don't know if they've caught up to us or the market, but I feel like the stinky lines have not had the batting average that we're used to it having.
Well, I'll say this. Up until Saturday, Army, Navy, and Indiana were just wagons, right? Indiana covered again. Army had a bye week. And, you know, sometimes the stinky line doesn't have to be like a short spread. It could also be a favorite that is a massive favorite. And I thought two teams fell into that, Notre Dame and Oregon. And, you know, I was every Saturday on the tailgate show, I have on an odds maker. And now it's worth noting different books, book action room, different folks. But more often than not, books are pretty similar. And, you know, Chuck Esposito from the Station's Casino here in Vegas told me that Navy had like 68% of the bets against Notre Dame. And I think Oregon had like 65% of the bets. So
Oregon or Illinois?
Illinois. Excuse
yeah, me, yeah. Because I was texting you. I'm normally the fade the trendy dog, and I bet too early in the week. I guessed wrong, and Illinois ended up not being trendy. Ended up being trendy.
I would say this, and nothing in gambling is 100%. But if you're, I like to call him Neighbor Nick because it has a nice little connotation.
Oh, yeah.
But if your neighbor, who doesn't really know much about sports, comes up to you and be like, how is this team the underdog? The favorite's going to cover probably majority of the time. Now, like Indiana, because the public loves the laid numbers more often than not. And this year, Indiana, as I mentioned, BYU, I guess, technically was a trendy dog because they ended up being an underdog. But more often than not, if there's a public dog, I think you should feel pretty comfortable knowing that there's a reason they're that big of an underdog.
I'm more talking of, rather than splits, our principal plays when it used to be like we'd have ranked underdog.
Yeah.
Like that was always a signal, bet the favorite. And it feels like those games, and then like last week, exactly where you have like BYU as the top 11 team, undefeated on the road against the team with four losses, I feel like we've been getting burned on that spot that's always been pretty good to us.
Well, and you also have to remember, too, like the sharp guys get on these games very early. So, for example, I knew that South Carolina would be a sharp play early on in this week. So I was like, I got to get this before it goes through three, which it did. So right now, South Carolina is a 2.5-point underdog at home to Texas A&M. That opened 4. There's a reason it hasn't really moved off of that. So, you know, just keep an eye on things like that as, you know, betting becomes much more ingrained in our everyday. But, I mean, situational spots, you know, books are no dummies anymore, right? I mean, not that they were, but with betting becoming more popular, I have been living off situational spots in both college hoops and college football for a long, long time. And now it's harder to bet these situational spots. But I'm still on South Carolina out of principle, and we'll see how Saturday night, you know, unfolds down there in
Columbia.
Yeah.
All right. I want to table the coaching carousel stuff because we haven't had a ton of movement. I want to table that. We'll have plenty of opportunity.
You don't want to talk about Mike Blomgren getting fired from Rice?
Yeah, Rice needs to stay in CUSA. You know what I mean? That's a brutal job. What I do want to talk about is we had a couple of big interesting quarterback changes in the NFL. I want to discuss those and a few other of the news and notes that we've had today from the NFL. So let's talk some NFL next. We'll do that right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN. October is Golftoberfest at Birdies, and for a few more days, if you book online, you can enjoy half off standard golf rates all month long. And again, if you're going to host a holiday party or event, do so at Birdies, because if you book now, you can still get the Golftoberfest rates. But if you book in November or December, it'll be back to the standard golf rates. Golf at Birdies.com for all of the information there. Check out the membership options. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators. Also, make sure you're following them on Instagram at Birdies901. Tim Murray joining me here on the program. Okay, Tim, so here were a couple of things that I thought were interesting. So if you're a Browns fan, last week, as fun as it is beating the Ravens, also has to absolutely infuriate you because your eyes have told you all along, like, there's no way Deshaun Watson should be playing. Jameis goes out and proves it. And now we run into the situation where the Colts are kind of in the similar spot of, all right, do we roll with Anthony Richardson for the obvious reasons? We drafted him. We want to believe in him. But it's very obvious if they just get average quarterback play, a few of their losses turns into wins. And so now they're making the decision to go with Flacco. What I find fascinating is, do you think we're going to start to see more of a do you think the owners are still going to get their way on playing young guy like they have, or the guy that they've spent all the money on?
Well, it's funny, too, because you think about this and how it unfolded last year, where the Browns season changed when Joe Flacco stepped in.
Right.
And granted, they had a loaded defense, and he was just kind of throwing YOLO balls out there, and some of them were coming down, and they ended up making the playoffs. I don't know how to feel about the Richardson situation because he's dealt with some injuries, and you knew when you drafted him that he was raw.
Project.
And now you're punting on it, 10 games in, I think?
Yeah, I will say this. I think Richardson's situation changed when he took himself out of the game on Sunday.
When he said he was tired?
Yeah. I've never seen a quarterback tap the helmet.
That was not good.
I got to imagine that didn't play well in a locker room.
No. I would definitely agree with that.
I just think we're in this weird, there's also going to be this question of how ready are guys when they come out of college, because, we're seeing guys like Daniels that come out and they look no different than they did last year. Williams has had ups and downs, but
he's had times, but I think you're still promised about, what's promising, what is there.
But I think a big part of it is so many of these guys now are just, they're running RPOs as pretty much their whole offense, their whole life. They get into the NFL and you just can't do it as much because the RPOs that work in the lower levels don't work in the NFL because your only linemen are only allowed to go 1 yard downfield. So you don't get these easy shots. And then, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see if there's maybe going to be less of a rush to get the quarterbacks out there as early anymore, or if it's. But then you're going to run into the problem like, well, we only have the 5-year deals and whatnot. But it's like, I don't know. One of the guys that's had the most success. How long did Love sit on the bench? 2.5 years.
Thought it was 3. Wasn't it 3?
That might be right. Yeah.
Yeah, because he came in. And then he got the deal where it was kind of like incentive laid in before for that 1 year. And then the final year, yeah, he was on the bench for a while. I mean, the crazy thing is, and I know Flacco's gotten a bunch of starts and it's more about wins and losses, but the Indianapolis Colts are the best cover team in the NFL. They're 7-1 against the spread.
I will say this. They play all 60 minutes.
They do. I don't know. My partner, who we had on the show last week, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, is a big Colts fan, and he is not happy that they're moving on to Flacco, moving to Flacco.
I think the question is, do you think they can make the playoffs right now? And if the answer is no, then there is kind of a what are you doing?
It does feel a little bit like Chris Ballard, the GM there, and Shane Steichen are trying to save their jobs. When maybe the opposite can be said about what's going on in Carolina.
Right.
Where, I mean, at this point, why do you even play Andy Dalton again?
I think the only thing you're thinking of is if, I know he played, Bryce played last week, but it's like, if you play Bryce and you remind people that he's not good, you don't even have the ability to move him.
I don't think you can move him now.
But I'm with you. Like, at a certain point, it's like, I think more times than not, you just kind of have to accept, all right, we made a bad pick. Like, eat it. Like, you can't be worried about, can we, like, save this asset?
Arizona did that, right, with Josh Rosen?
Yes, Rosen. Like,
all right.
I still got my Rosen IPO, by the way. There's still time.
I mean, Indianapolis is 4-4. They play the Vikings on Sunday Night Football this week on the road. Then they play the Bills. Then they play the Jets, and then they have the Lions. So I guess the mindset is, yeah, we think we can make the playoffs.
I really do think, though, I think that one's less about front office saving their job. You could tell me that one is what Richardson did not play well in the locker room. Because yeah. I do think a big part of, like, I think Dable clearly wants to. Dable also has the problem, like, he wants to bench Daniel Jones, but the option's Drew Lock, and Drew's terrible, but, like, it's very clear what has happened is, like, every time he tries to bench him, the locker room revolts, because the locker room really likes Daniel, because Daniel, like, will put his body on the line, he's pretty tough. Like, I think that's a huge part of it, but, like, I'm curious to see how that kind of plays out, the power struggle dynamics of who to play at quarterback. The NFL, meritocracy, always. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
So we'll do that right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I got to go with my guy, Nick Kyrgios, the Australian tennis player. I loved this one because there's so much here. When asked about why he's chosen to retire, and he's been great on TV. Like, I think he's enjoyable on TV. I look at how Andy Murray's doing it right now and how Rafael's going out. I don't want to be like that either. I don't want to be kind of crawling to the finish line in a sense.
What Andy Murray's achieved in this sport is second to basically no one, unless you're Novak, Federer, or Nadal. Like, the next person is Andy Murray. It's like you've achieved everything. You deserve to go out, I think, a little bit more gracefully than he's done. I think the surgery's the pain. It's just not worth it, in my opinion. All right, the surgery's whatnot, okay. But I just love kind of putting yourself on the same pedestal as the guys that were the great players of your generation and acting like you're the same thing. I love that move.
Curious is the best, man.
He is a delight. I've always thought, who do you think has the better claim to, God, I just wish I was born in some other time? It's like Murray and Roddick are the two. It's like if they're born like 10 years earlier or 10 years later, they probably win like double-digit Grand Slams.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because there was, I mean, Sampras, Agassi, yeah. I mean, they were... Yeah.
And then all of them are just sitting in the middle of, you know, the three best, arguably, of all time. All right, buddy, we appreciate it. Talk to you again on Friday.
Sounds good, brother.
That, of course, is Tim Murray. VSIN, I should say the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. Don't forget about the tailgate show on Saturday. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.